Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are at the bottom of 14b, Daf Yud Daled Amud Bet. We are 11 lines up from the wide lines at the bottom of the page. We've been discussing the seven prophetesses whose prophecies are for all generations, and we've discussed already Sarah, Miriam, Devorah, Chana, Abigail, and Huldah. And now we're going to briefly discuss Esther. Esther, we know, is a prophetess. Dichtiv, as it is written in the Megillah, Vayhi bayom hashlishi, and it was on the third day after she'd been fasting for 3 days, Vatilbash Esther Malchut, and Esther donned kingship. So the Gemara says, Bigdei Malchut mibayale, it should have said she donned the clothing of kingship. Ella, rather, what does it mean that she donned kingship? Shelavashta ruach hakodesh, that she became clothed with the Holy Spirit. Ktiv hacha vatilbash, here it's written, and she was clothed. Uchtiv hatam, and there's another verse in Divrei Hayamim where it says, V'ruach lavsha et amasai, that the Spirit enveloped Amasai, and he was testifying that David would be successful in his battle at Siklag. So we see that their prophecy is defined as like being a clothing around you. And so here, when Esther says she was clothed with kingship, it means the kingship of Hashem, or his divine spirit. So that's how we know that Esther is a prophetess. So that concludes all seven prophetesses. Now just a couple of postscripts. Amar of Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Lo ya'e yihiruta l'nashai. Arrogance is not attractive in women. Of course, arrogance is not attractive in men either, but he's going to provide an example of how a certain arrogance was reflected poorly in two of the prophetesses that we were mentioning. Tarte nashe yihiran havyan. There were two women who displayed a certain kind of arrogance. Visanyan shemayhu. And their names were turned into something ugly to reflect this arrogance. Chada shema ziburto. One of them was given the name of a bee. V'chadashma karkushta, and one was given the name of a ferret. So here we're referring to Devorah. So Devorah in Hebrew means a bee, and Huldah means a rat or a ferret. So both of these are considered by Rav Nachman to be unattractive names, and he says their names were unattractive to reflect unattractive actions that they did, reflecting arrogance. Ziburta Kativba, she was called Devorah. Now, don't tell this to all the women named Devorah or Deborah, that it's an unattractive name. I think it's a lovely name. But regarding Devorah, she was called a bee because Vatishlach Vatikra LeBarak. When she became a prophetess and she was going to go to war for the Jewish people, it says she sent and called Barak. So she sent a messenger to bring Barak ben Avinoam to her. V'ilu ihi lo azla legabe. But she was arrogant in that she didn't go herself. She should have shown him the respect of going herself, and said she just summoned him like a servant by sending a messenger. I think this is a pretty weak argument. But that is what the Gemara says. Karkushta, a ferret related to Huldah, Ketivba, when she was prophesying, if you'll recall in our last recording, Yoshiyahu sent a delegation to her to prophesy about what they should do since they discovered a Torah in the Beit HaMikdash, and the Torah was open to the section that was the Tochacha, and it was talking about all these terrible things that might befall the Jewish people, and Yoshiyahu wanted to know what he should do. So she said, Imru la'ish, go tell the man who sent you, in other words, Yoshiyahu the king. V'lo amra imru l'melech, she didn't say go tell the king. So she called him a man, a guy, instead of calling him a king. And that was a sort of arrogance that she displayed as well. Amar of Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Huldah hanaviya, Huldah the prophetess, mibnei banav shel Yehoshua haita. She was of the descendants of Joshua. Ketiv hacha, it's written regarding Huldah. When they go to see Huldah, it describes her in two ways. It describes her lineage in two ways. Actually, it describes her husband. It says her husband was Ben Charchas. He was the son of Charchas. And it also calls him, right afterwards, Ben Tikva. So we're going to describe each one of these. So regarding Ben Charchas, Uchtiv Hatzam, regarding Yehoshua, when Yehoshua is buried, it says he was buried in his birthplace, which was called Timnat Cheres. So they're comparing Charchas, which is very similar to Cheres, and saying that the two of them are therefore related, and so Yehoshua and Rachav were related to each other. Another Rachav was descended from Yehoshua. It is interesting, this pasuk is wrongly attributed, at least in my Gemara, it says it's in Yoshua Chafdalad. It's not. The verse that says he was buried in Timnat Cheres is in Shoftim chapter 2, verse 9, Perek Bet, Pasuk Tet. In Yoshua Chafdalad, it has a similar verse, but there it reverses the language, and it says that the name of his town was Timnat Serach, as in, like, the woman, the daughter of Judah, Serach, the daughter of Asher, Serach Bat Asher. So in one place it describes it as Cheres, and in one place as Serach. That's for an interesting thing to look into for some other time. Okay, Eitvei, Rav Eina Saba l'Rav Nachman. Rav Eina the elder said to Rav Nachman, Shmona Nevi'im, there were 8 prophets, Vehem Kohanim, that were priests, that were Kohanim, Yatzu Me Rachav Hazona, who all came from Rachav Hazona. Now we're talking about Rachav here. According to one of the commentaries, or maybe I saw this in the Art Scroll, they're understanding Rachav Hazona here not as Rachav the prostitute, as we'll describe later, but that you could view the word Zona as either a food purveyor, one who is Zan, who gives people food, so she could be a food seller, or as Zona, a prostitute. So here, maybe they're, since they're not discussing her being illicit, they're discussing profits coming from her, maybe they're viewing it as that she was a food purveyor, which is a more respectable profession. The Elohein, and these are they. Neria, Baruch, Sraya, Machsaya, Yirmia, Chilkia, and Hanamel, Vishalum. All 8 of these men who are all prophets, we'll see in a second, it's not so clear that all 8 of them are prophets, but these 8 prophets were all Kohanim, and they were all descended from Rachav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that's not why this is here. We'll see in a second. We're connecting this to, we want to connect this to Chulda and Yoshua. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Chulda Hanavia Mibnei Baneha Shel Rachav, even Chulda, who we've been discussing as the prophetess, she is also of the descendants of Rachav Hazona. Haita, she was. K'tiv Hacha, because Chulda's husband is described as Ben Tikva, the son of Tikva, Uchtiv Hatam, and regarding the story of Rachav, where she helps the 2 Israelite spies escape, she says, Et Tikvat Chut Hashani, that there was a scarlet string that she would hang out her window. So we connect the Tikva of Chulda to the Tikva of Rachav and say that the 2 of them were related. Amar Lei, so Rav Nachman says back to Rav Eina, he says, Eina Saba, old Eina, V'amrilan, some people say that he called him Patya Uchma, you black pot. He called you black pot. I guess he was a small and blackened old man. The Marsha says that this was not a term of denigration. He wasn't calling him, you unattractive black pot. He was kind of saying something along the lines of, you old black son of a gun. It was like an affectionate sort of nickname. So, Patya Uchma, oh, you black pot. Mini u mincha tistayim shmaita. If you put together my teaching and your teaching, mini from me, uminach, and from you, tistayim shmaita. We can put it all together, the teaching. De'igaira, that Rachav converted to Judaism. She became Jewish. This is a theme that we've seen in various places. There were Bitya, the daughter of Paro, became Jewish. In this case, Rachav becomes Jewish. V'nasba Yoshua, and Yoshua ends up marrying Rachav. V'nasba Yoshua, and then she marries Yoshua, and therefore all of these 8 prophets, and even Chulda, who we saw was a descendant of Yehoshua, according to Rav Eina, therefore, if you put the 2 of them together, you could say that Rachav married Yehoshua, and that they had these 8 prophets, and also Chulda. But the Gemara asks, Umi havale zara li Yoshua, and who said that Yoshua had children? We have a tradition that Yoshua never had children. V'aktiv, because it's written in Divrei Hayamim, Nun beno, that Yoshua's father, his name was Nun, or Non, Yoshua beno, and that's the end of the line. So there was Non, he had the son Yoshua, and then there are no further descendants that are mentioned. So it sounds like Yehoshua, it's funny because it sounds like Yoshua ben Nun, he was the Yoshua, the son of Nun, but really he had his children were Nun. He had no children. So we have a tradition that Yeshua had no children, which is very sad for Yeshua. So, but the answer is, Banai lo havule, he never had any sons. Bintan havule, but he did have daughters. So those daughters that he had with Rachav went on to have further children and generations, including these 8 prophets and Chulda Hanavia. That concludes Daf Yudalad. We're going to do just a couple lines of Tetvav, so we roll over to the next page. Next page is quite a long one, so we'll, you know, get a little bit in right now. Bishlama, this makes sense, what we've learned about these eight prophets. Inhu Mifrashi, several of them are explained that they are Nevi'im. In particular, it's fairly well attributed in Tanakh, or you can infer from Tanakh, that Baruch, Sraya, Yirmiah, and Hanamel were all prophets. But their fathers, so Baruch was the son of Neriah, Sraya was the son of Machsaya, Yirmiah, who was the son of Chilkiah, and Hanamel was the son of Shalum. So their forefathers are not clearly attributed in Tanakh as prophets. Ela Av Hasayu, but their fathers, Minalan. How do you know that they're prophets? Kid Ula, we know it because of a teaching of Ula, De Amar Ula, as Ula says. Second line of Daf Tet Vav Amud Aleph. Kol makom sheshmo v'shem aviv b'neviut. Anytime it mentions a prophet's name and his father's name in the prophecy, b'yadua shehu navi ben navi, then you know that he is the navi, the son of a navi. And the only reason it mentions his father is because his father was also a prophet. So even though we don't have any prophecies in the names of some of these guys, we know by the fact that they're mentioned with their sons who are prophets that they too were neviim. Shemo v'lo shem aviv, if it mentions the prophet's name but it excludes his father's name, b'yadua shehu navi v'lo ben navi, then you know that he's a prophet but he doesn't come from prophetic stock. Shemo v'shem iro, if it mentions the prophet's name and the name of his city, this is just finishing off the teaching. Mefurash b'yadua v'shem iro mefurash, his name and the name of his city are explained. Biyadua shehu navi, Hagos Habach adds that word navi, that he is a prophet, me'ota ha'ir, from that city, whatever city is mentioned. Shmo velo shem iro, but if it mentions the prophet's name and it doesn't specify where he's from, biyadua shehu me'rushalayim, then you know that he's from Jerusalem. Any prophets whose cities are not mentioned, the Stam city that we know, we don't even have to say its name out loud, is Yerushalayim. So any prophet whose city is not mentioned, we say is from Jerusalem. We're going to stop there. Have a wonderful day.